Well, praise God.
If you didn't know, today is February 13th. For those of you gentlemen, I was talking with a friend of mine who was male today, and we were talking about tomorrow's activity, and that one individual, I won't mention names or look at them so that I don't give it away, that one individual had forgotten what tomorrow is. So for those of you guys who don't know or didn't realize, just remember that tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So anyways, for the ladies, you know, give them a nudge or something like that to say, hey, come on, be a man, be romantic for one day. But listen, today, even though tomorrow is Valentine's Day, the day of love, half of the men in the house believe that it's just a Hallmark holiday, but that's all right, we won't go there. It's the National Day of Love, it's Valentine's Day. You know, I want to talk about the subject of love, but I don't want to talk about the subject of love in the sense of romance, in the sense of getting together and husband and wife and mushiness and boyfriend, girl. No. We don't need to talk about that. You can take care of that stuff all on your own. But I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of love. The title of tonight's message is, The Greatest of These Is. Hopefully by the end of tonight, you can understand or finish that statement for you. But I kind of wanted to leave you with a cliffhanger. You might be saying, Pastor Luke, what is the greatest of these? Hopefully you'll find out by the end of the night. Today I want to talk to you about the subject of love. You know, Valentine's Day is upon us. You can't escape it. You can't get away from it. You can't escape the candy commercials and the roses. And you can't escape the hearts when you go to the grocery store and the balloons and all sorts of different things every year. You know, you husbands, you're trying to figure out what you can do to outdo yourself last year. You don't want to just get a card, but you don't want to go too crazy or be too, you know, too mushy. And you just can't escape it. Regardless of whether you're married, you're single, you can't escape love on Valentine's Day. But I want to talk to you about something. You know, and if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew in the 22nd chapter. Let's go to Matthew in the 22nd chapter. Jesus is speaking here. He's actually being tested by a group called the Sadducees. The Pharisees. And a lawyer asks Jesus this question, trying to stump him, really, because what had happened is Jesus was preaching and he had silenced the Sadducees, a religious group. And here a lawyer of the Pharisees asks Jesus a question, hoping that he could stump the one who stumped his rival group. So in verse number 36 of the 22nd chapter of Matthew, this lawyer says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus' response in verse number 37 is this. Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to what Jesus says to this religious leader who's balancing or basing his entire life off of the law, or basing his entire life off of religion or religious actions. Okay, he's trying to show the world that he's perfect in what he does and his actions. And he says to this religious leader, this lawyer, he says to them, On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And we're going to see a little bit more about that. But here Jesus says, listen, you want to fulfill the law, you want to live by the law, all you have to do is do two things. Love the God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two great commandments. Love. You see, love is not something as Christians you and I can escape. It's not something that we even though we may not feel like we want to do it, it's something that we can't escape. We can't circumvent. You can't get by it. You have got to live. You and I have got to live a life of love. And let me tell you something. Don't you know that you and I have the opportunity week in and week out, day in and day out, to choose whether we're going to live in love or we're going to live life how we want to live it, maybe for our own best interest. Has anybody been there before? Has anybody ever had somebody say something like the video said that was hurtful, or somebody that did something that they just didn't feel like they could ever bounce back from, or I just could never trust this person, or I couldn't, you know, we've been hurt before. We've reached out to people. You've heard the term, you've wore your heart on your sleeve, and you know, you've been hurt before. But the thing is that regardless of how you and I feel, we have got to live a life of love. There's nothing we can do to escape it. It is the greatest of commandments. So, I want to do something. Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So today, talking about the greatest of these is, I want to show you something in the Bible. If you got your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. And some of you are like, I know where he's going. 1 Corinthians, if you know where I'm going, then go there. 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. Oh man, I so took advantage of the seasonal holiday to take you to the book of love. You're like, Pastor Luke, that's so cliche. Uh-huh. It is. Praise God. Hallelujah. But if you got your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. Now I'm going to read, we're going to go through the entire 13th chapter today, but I want to focus in on some things. Now, normally here what we do at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center is we teach a message that'll give you a couple things to walk away with, you know, point one, point two, point three, application, how to live life better, how to do this. If you do this, your life will be beneficial, your life will be better, you'll grow in your relationship with God. Today, I really wanted to do something a little bit different. I don't have points. There are no points in today's message, but what I do want to do is I want to take a look at the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the book of love, the love chapter of the Bible, and I want to point some things out to you, some things that maybe in our lives, I can say for my own life as I was reading through the Word of God this past week that I had looked at and I had overlooked because there are some overwhelming things that we automatically go to. So there are some scriptures that don't necessarily stand out or are shadowed or overshadowed, especially in a chapter like this, because there are other places that you hear quoted or you see on bookmarks or you hear somebody talk about over and over and over again. So today I really want to take a look at the entire 13th chapter, talking about the greatest of these is, talking about love, and look at the idea of love, the essence of love, the importance of love, the application of love in our life. Now again, I'm not speaking about romantic love, although that does apply. Husbands, if you want to be better husbands, pay attention. Wives, if you want to be better wives, pay attention. Hey, listen, for those of you who are single in this place, you want to get married someday? Pay attention. It's important. If you've ever sat with me, or for those who I've married, this is something I always talk about is 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, because as a husband and wife in a relationship, you cannot escape 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. But as Christians, guess what? Neither can we. So let's look here at 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. This is the love chapter. Paul the Apostle is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's speaking to them. And now on the subject of love, picking up in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. First off, Paul's kind of like laying it out right here. He's like, look, man, I am well advanced in my relationship with God. I have got it going on. I can speak in the tongues of angels, and I can speak in the tongues of man. But look what he goes on to say. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I have not love, or but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That's an interesting statement. Here, Paul the Apostle saying, listen, I have a deep relationship with God. I am well advanced in my relationship or my understanding of the things of God. But if I don't operate in love, the words that I speak, the tongues of men or the tongues of angels, what comes out of my mouth just is like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Now, short of Pastor Luke jumping up on the stage and beating on our percussion cymbal, you understand what Paul is saying here, right? It's like somebody coming, I have a two-year-old, and after our young adult service, they love that all the little kids, there's a bunch of two-year-olds and three-year-olds in our young adult service because their parents are all young. And after service, if you've ever been there, you see all the kids, they run up on stage and they go and they beat on the drums and they relentlessly hit the cymbals. And it's just after a while, you're just kind of like, like stop. It's a clanging brass. It's a sounding cymbal. It's just noise, an irritating noise. And Paul says, listen, I could be so advanced in my understanding that I could speak, but if I don't do so out of love, all I'm doing is creating noise. What an interesting statement. What a shocking statement for him to say. That all I'm doing is creating noise. Not a pleasant noise, it's like a violin screeching kind of noise. Verse number 2, he goes on to say, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains? Listen to what Paul is saying. These are bold statements. He says, listen, I could be as smart as anybody who's ever existed. I could have the most deep biblical understanding. I could know things that are about to come. I can see things. I can have faith to move mountains. I can be unstoppable in my relationship or in my faith with God and my knowledge of the things of God. But then he goes on to say, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. What an amazing statement Paul is saying. Listen, remember he says, I could speak with the most eloquent of tongues, but if I don't do it out of love, I'm just making noise. Now he goes on to say, I can have as much knowledge and understanding and faith as anybody in the world, but if I don't have love, I amount to nothing in my life. Interesting. But he doesn't stop there. Look at verse number 3. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold the horses. These subjects or these topics that he's talking about, this is love. Wouldn't you say that somebody giving their body to be burned or giving their goods to the poor, wouldn't you say, wow, that person loves the poor. They're doing the things of God. But look what Paul's doing. He's flinging the door wide open on religion right here. And he says, I could give my goods to feed the poor, and I can give my body to be burned. But if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Whoa! This is deep. Paul is saying, I could be as religious and I can look as good as anybody would think, but if I don't do it out of love, it does me no good. Wow! Wow! Do you see the importance here of what Paul is saying? You see, we can't escape it. You can't deny it. You can't live without it. It doesn't matter how good you act. It doesn't matter how much you sit in church. It doesn't matter how many songs you sing during praise and worship. If you live a life that it does not have love inside of it or is not carried out in love, look what Paul says. You could be the most religious of all people. The people could look at you and say, wow, that person is so smart. They know so much about the Word of God. They're so eloquent in their speaking. But if you don't have love in your life, guess what? It profits you or amounts to nothing in your life. What a shocking statement. You see, Paul, before he even gets into the concept or the ideas or the description of love, he states the importance of it. That you and I cannot escape love. That we can't get by it. Listen to a statement that Thomas A. Kempis said. And this is an interesting statement. It says, all is vanity but to love God and serve Him. You see, everything you and I could do in our lives is vain or vanity except the fact that we love God and we serve Him. It's just like Jesus said to the lawyer. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these, you will abide by the law. You see, in loving God and serving God, you and I are fulfilling what God has for us in our lives. So we have to live a life of love. It's so important. It's imperative in our walk with God. It's imperative for the blessings that God has in store for you and I. Are you with me tonight? The need for love does not just benefit for our own benefit, but for the benefit of Christ. It's essential in our lives because we are benefiting the others. We could try until we're blue in the face to look like a Christian, but if we don't have love, guess what? You're not doing anybody any good. Are you with me tonight? Keep your Bibles or put a ribbon there in 1 Corinthians because we're gonna come back there. So put a ribbon in there in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter and go with me to the book of Romans in the 13th chapter. Romans, the 13th chapter. A couple pages back in Romans, the 13th chapter. Again, we're reading the writing of Paul the Apostle to the church in Rome now. Romans in the 13th chapter, in the 8th verse, Paul is speaking to the church and he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. He's reiterating exactly what Jesus Christ told that religious leader. He says, listen, don't owe anybody anything except this, that you love one another. And in doing so, you are living and operating in the law. Listen, it's not about, you know, you always hear in Christianity, oh, it's all about the law. Oh, it's all about grace. Oh, it's about the law. It's about the grace. It's law. It's grace. There's these two sides of the road. Legalism on one side and grace or liberalism on the other side. But the truth is that it doesn't matter what side of the ditch or what side of the road you want to travel on. If you live a life of love, you travel down the middle of the road. Why? Because you fulfill the law in the sense that you serve God and you love Him and you operate under grace. Because let me tell you something, it takes the grace of God, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we can't do it. It takes the grace of God, are you with me today, to love. I don't know about you, but there are some people in my life that I need grace to love. Hallelujah. Don't you know that when Pastor Luke's about to teach a message on love, God gives him the opportunity to live it. Oh, I tell you what, God is so great. I went home to my wife today and I just said, "Babe, God is so funny." She says, "What?" I said, "Man, because I am teaching on love. And here I am presented with the opportunity. Oh, I just wanted to get even. I just wanted to, you know, have you ever had a friend or somebody that was close to you and they said something and you had a third person or out of body experience where you kind of stepped out, maybe even saw it like a movie, and they said something, you just whack, slapped them. You saw that look on their face like that. And you just felt so good. You're like, yeah. You ever felt like that? Am I alone in the house today? God gives you the opportunity. You hear these things and you think, nope, I'm preaching on love today. Hallelujah. Takes the grace of God. But in doing so, we owe no man nothing except to love them. In doing so, we fulfill the law. Look what he goes on to say in verse number 9. He says, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." You see, you shall not murder. Hey, guess what? If you operate in love, you ain't going to murder nobody. Right? You don't want to steal. You should not steal. Hey, if you operate in love, you realize that is somebody else's possession. You're not going to take it. You see, in living love, we operate and we fulfill the law or the establishments that God has for us. Amen? Love is the essence of Christianity. Love to those who we don't want to love those who don't deserve to be loved. Woo! Could you imagine what the church globally, listen to this big picture now, could you imagine what the church globally would look like if we operated in the kind of love that Jesus Christ set an example for us? Now, I don't want to get on a soapbox and talk about society in today's day and age and the things that you hear about people proclaiming to be Christians on one side and saying this and people proclaiming to be Christians on this other side, but could you imagine what the church would look like globally in a world perspective if we operated in the kind of love that Jesus Christ came and showed us? Do you realize how out of the normal Jesus was? Do you realize that Jesus hung out with people that were rejects? That Jesus touched people that were unclean? That were people that were lepers? Do you realize that people that Jesus stood next to and stood for the woman who was caught in the act of adultery? That's a double whammy. For those of you that don't know, you read the Bible in today's society, in today's day and age, and you and I think that women are equal with men, that God created all men equal, that, hey, listen, we fought for that women's rights. But do you realize in the first century that women had very little rights, if any at all? There's a double whammy already for a man to be hanging out with a woman. Secondly, with a woman who was caught in adultery. How about this? Did you realize that Jesus' disciples were zealots, were lowly and humble fishermen, that they were tax collectors? But yet, these are the people that Jesus went to. These are the people that Jesus ministered to, the sick, the hurting, the needy. Could you imagine we as the church, if we were not so judgmental in our lives, but rather we were loving like Christ loved the people that he ministered to, could you imagine what the church would be like? If we operated in that kind of love, wow, it blows my mind. Here's another statement. I thought that some quotes would be fun tonight. An old Swedish proverb says it like this: "Love me when I least deserve it, because that's when I really need it." Ain't that the truth? Love me when I least deserve it, because that's when I really need it. Don't you know when you were down and out? Don't you know when you were walking away, when you were doing your own thing, when you were snorting those things up your nose, or you were drinking those things like you couldn't stop? Don't you know that somebody loved you when you least deserve it? Jesus Christ. And don't you know it was the love of Christ that pulled you out of the muck and mire? And here you are today, hearing the Word of God, serving the Word of God. I'll tell you what, God is good. And if we would live an example of love, and understand that in our lives, whether we feel like it or not, it is imperative for us to love. Could you imagine what we could do for the kingdom of God? Amen? God is good. I'll tell you what. Well, moving on. Let's go back to the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, if you got your Bibles or you had your ribbon or your thumb there, let's go back and look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter now. Verse number 4. This is the description of love. Now, I don't need to spend a lot of time, because let me say something. You ever want to know what love looks like? Read the Bible. We could spend months, years, days, whatever, talking about the description of love, but honestly, I think the Bible does it best. Read it. Apply it. So here Paul the Apostle says in verse number 4, listen, he says, love suffers long. Love is kind, does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Do you remember the illustration I just gave you about slapping that person? Thinking evil. Love thinks no evil. Love does not... Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Love thinks no evil. Let's just... Oh, I gotta get off my soapbox. Driving on the freeway. You know that person that was riding your tail? You know you thought about what would happen if you hit the brakes and you got yourself a new bumper. You know you're thinking, ha, 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 ha. No, love thinks no evil. I'm being a little bit too transparent, man. I'm telling you all my secret intimate thoughts today. Love does not behave rudely. Oh, my Lord. Love does not behave rudely. Could you imagine what we would be like if we decided in our day and age, in our society, to operate under these things that we used to have in our society called manners? Anyways. Love does not seek its own. It's not selfish. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, all things. Look at your other neighbor and say, all things. Now, when love bears all things, what does all things mean? All things, not some things. Oh, I can deal with this, and but you know what? I can't do that. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Oh, but Pastor Luke, I have been hurt so many times. What does all things mean? All things. See, it was quieter on that one. That was a lot quieter. You're like, Pastor Luke, I don't know if I can say all things that time. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, let me just say this. I don't need to spend any more time just describing those. But let me say this. Husbands, wives, future husbands, future wives, you're married, you want to stay married, you're single, you want to get married. Hey, how about this? You're an employer, you got employees. Or how about this? You're an employee and you got an employer. What you want to do is look at 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, verse number 4 through verse number 7, and weigh them against your actions and ask yourself this question on a daily basis. Am I acting in love? The ultimate standard for us to set our lives by. Am I acting in love? Well, I don't know what love looks like. Read it. Are you enduring all things? Are you bearing all things? Are you believing all things? Are you hoping for all things? Are you rejoicing in iniquity? Are you thinking evil thoughts? Are you being selfish or puffed up or proud? Because if you are, you might want to look again at 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter. I know it's quiet. You're looking at me like, Pastor Luke, man, you're driving the dagger in a little deep tonight. But all you got to do is compare it to your life and say and ask yourself this question, husbands. Ask yourself this question, wives. How about trying to ask yourself this question in the middle of a fight? Am I acting in love? Wow. Wow. I'm moving on. Moving on. Well, listen to this. Paul brings an interesting and a fascinating statement in verse number 8. Verse number 8, Paul the Apostle says this. Love, what? Never fails. Love never fails. But then he goes on to say, you see, interestingly enough, the writers of 1 Corinthians and the translators didn't put love never fails in its own verse. Right? They put it in with verse number 8. But why? Here's why. Because the thoughts. Listen to this. But... Verse number 8. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Verse number 9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse number 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Paul the Apostle is saying such an interesting thing here. Let's go back to verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Predictions, they'll fail. Hey, listen, men have in the name of God prophesied so many things. Guess what? They have come and gone. They have ceased. They have failed. Look what he goes on to say. There are tongues. Listen, whether you think about tongues in the literal sense, about languages, there are languages that are dead now that were once the essence of civilization, that they ceased to exist. But how about this? How about the spiritual understanding to understand or to speak language supernaturally that you don't understand? There will be a time when you are perfected in Christ that you will no longer need to do that. They will cease. Whether there is knowledge, anything that you can carry or maintain in your course of life here in this day and age, guess what? In the grand scheme of eternity, it will pass away. It will vanish. Life is temporal. The things that you and I gain in this life are just only in part. And he goes on in verse number 9. He says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. You see, you and I live a life right now that is clouded, it's shrouded. It's like we're looking at life through a telescope. You have tunnel vision. You can only see life as you have experienced it. You don't see things in the grand scheme of eternity. You don't see things how God sees things. We see in part, we prophesy in part. We say what we know, we see what we know, is what Paul the Apostle is saying. But that which, when is perfect, has come, then that which is in part will be done away. See, Paul the Apostle saying there will be a time, church, when you and I are together with God. When you and I have if the Lord tarries, and we are brought up in the rapture with Him, or whether you and I face a life of and we go through death, and we experience that, and we find ourselves there at the judgment seat, there will be a time when you and I will be in a perfected state if we follow our relationship with God. And when perfection comes, that which was in part will pass away. You see, all the knowledge that you had while you were here on earth is nothing compared to the knowledge that you will have when you are perfected with God. The spiritual understanding that you had when you were here on earth, you see in part, you prophesy in part, that will be nothing in comparison to what you have when you are in perfection with God. You see what he's saying? He's saying that this is a temporal phase in our lives. All we can do is be good stewards of what we have been given here on earth, our lives, and to operate in love. It is imperative for us to love. Are you with me today? When we are reunited with God in heaven, there will no longer be a need for prophecy. Why? Because God is God. There will no longer be a need for predictions. There won't be multiple languages. You won't have to look at somebody in heaven and say, ¿Se habla español? But one heavenly language. When the church is perfected, the journey to become will have passed away and will be no longer relevant because we will have arrived at our destination. I'll just go ahead and put it up on the overhead for the sake of time. Philippians in the 3rd chapter, the 12th verse, Paul the Apostle is talking, and he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Remember, we were just reading about the perfection, that when perfection comes, that which is in part will be gone. And Paul says, listen, I haven't gotten there yet. I'm not perfect yet. You and I, no matter how hard we try, cannot live a perfect life. Why? Because we were born of man, born into sin. But we are new creations through Jesus Christ, the price that was paid for our sin on the cross, so we can live a life according to Jesus. But guess what? We needed Jesus to do that. And so Paul says, I have not attained, I'm not perfect, but listen, I press on that I may lay a hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. And going on, he goes on to say in verse number 13, he says, brethren, I don't count myself having apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. And verse number 14 goes on to say, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, listen, I'm not perfect. I haven't been there yet. I haven't attained. I don't have everything. I don't have all the answers. But what I do know is this, that I will leave yesterday behind the hurts and the pain that may have been caused because I loved somebody or I did what God has called me to do. I will leave that behind and I will press forward and continue to do what God has called me to do. You and I have got to press on, move past it. It's hard, I know. Seems impossible, I know. But it's not, because with God all things are possible. Amen? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, moving on. Paul says in 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, verse number 11, now he says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became man, I put away childish things. For now, we see in a mirror, listen to this, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Whoa! What Paul is saying is, listen, when I was a baby, when I was a little kid, I thought like a little kid, I spoke like a little kid, I operated like a little kid. But as I grew up, I realized that I had to mature, had to take responsibility for my life. He gives us the example. We grow up and we live this life. We see dimly in a mirror. We can't make out everything that life has for us. But there will be a time when perfection comes, when you and I can do the impossible. And that is to see God face to face. And we will be known just as God knows us. The essence here is what Paul is saying is, listen, we have got to have a mature understanding of love. Childish love. I have a 2-year-old. The epitome of my life is childish love. My boy, I know, loves daddy. And daddy, I know, you know daddy, unconditional love. I don't care what he would do, could never make me not love him. But I, at this point in his life, he can cease to love me when things don't go his way. You've been with kids, you've seen kids. They're your biggest fan. Daddy, 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 daddy. But when daddy says no, when daddy says stop that, when daddy says get down, when daddy disciplines, or when daddy does something that he doesn't want to be done, all of a sudden he goes, runs to mom. Mommy, mommy, mommy. You see, that's childish love. And Paul is saying, listen, you and I have got to grow up and have a mature understanding that you and I cannot love when it's easy for us to just love. You and I cannot love when things are going our way. Okay, I'll love you because you're being nice to me. Imagine if Jesus would have said, I'll love you as long as you follow me. No, we have to have a mature understanding of love in the sense that an adult love says, you know what? I'll love because I'm called to love. I'll love because God loved. I'll love because it's what God has given me. I'll love because I was given the example through Jesus Christ. I'll love because it is my calling. A mature understanding of love says I'll love you regardless of how you feel about me. I will still love you. Talk about tough. Love is a two-way road. How about this quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend. The essence right there of love never fails. There it is. You can't escape it. You got to do it even when you don't feel like it. Are you with me tonight? You're like, Pastor Luke, end it, man. Pull the dagger out of my back, please. Love is a choice. We have to choose to act as mature adults and not love just when things go our way. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. 1 John, the description of Christianity, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, talks about if you want to be in Christ, if you think you're in Christ, you got to have love. Can't escape it. Can't escape it. You with me tonight? Yes. Praise God. Let's conclude with this thought. 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, verse number 13. And now, as he concludes this thought, abide in faith, hope, and love. And these three, but the greatest of these is love. Paul the Apostle tells the church, listen, abide in faith. The faith that Jesus Christ is Lord. The faith that God is in control. Abide in hope, a confident expectation that God is on your side. That God being for you, who could be against you? Abide in hope and abide in love as a representative of Jesus Christ. The most important thing we could do is to love. And he says the most important of these, the greatest of these, doesn't matter about your faith, doesn't matter about your love or your hope. The most important of these is love. We can't escape it, guys. We can't run from it. Let me give you one last quote for today. If you can really make a man believe you love him, you have won him. And if I could only make people really believe that God loves them, what a rush we would have to see for the kingdom of God. From Dwight L. Moody. If you can make a man believe you love him, you have won him. He is on your side. If you could take the love, the most important of these, and apply them to your life, and in so doing so, representing the love of Jesus Christ, make the world believe that God loves them. Could you imagine the response you and I would have in our ministry for the kingdom of God, and our impact for the kingdom of God, all because we acted and we operated in this little thing we call love. It's so important for our lives. It is so hard. But thank God we have the grace of God that covers us when we make mistakes. Like Paul says, I have not attained, but I press on. Listen, if you've been hurt, move forward. Press on. Give it to God. Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Put your faith and your trust and your hope in God, and trust that if God called you to love, He'd give you the ability to do it. Because God never called somebody that He didn't equip. And if God called you to love as a Christian, guess what? He equipped you to love too. And all you got to do is put your faith and put your trust in Him. Amen? Did you guys get something out of the Word of the Lord today? God is good.